listening to Full Circle Weekly News, news of the open source community presented by Full Circle Magazine. These articles are compiled by me, your host, Moss Bliss. This is episode 457, covering week 11, March 16th to 22nd, 2026. Systemd260 has been released, bringing one of the most disruptive updates in recent cycles. It removes long-deprecated legacy components, raises baseline requirements, and introduces new frameworks for modern Linux systems. The most notable change is the complete removal of systemv init script support. Systems and software that still rely on sysv must now provide native systemd unit files to continue working. Systemd260 also raises minimum requirements across the stack. The baseline Linux kernel moves to version 5.10 with newer kernels recommended for full functionality. Several core dependencies have been updated, including glibc 2.34, OpenSSL 3.0, and Python 3.9. Networking improvements include expanded configuration options in systemd networkd and new integration with modem manager, allowing direct management of cellular connections through systemd. Finally, the release brings updates to container and image workflows, OCI image handling is improved, and new options in tools like systemd nspawn and systemd vmspawn align with the new mstack concept. Ageless Linux is a registered operating system under the definitions established by the California Digital Age Assurance Act. They are in full, knowing, and intentional non-compliance with the age verification requirements of Cal Civil Code 1798.501(a). Ageless Linux is basically Debian with the age verification pieces removed or avoided. The goal isn't to reinvent Linux, but to ensure that users who oppose these laws still have a distribution that does not participate in age verification frameworks. They have a dedicated page that lists the stance of various distros and organizations on the age verification issue. There is a page that lists U.S. state laws that require operating system providers to collect age data from users. So it's not just a distro, it's becoming a full-fledged portal documenting and opposing age verification laws. They also have an ambitious hardware project that is designed to satisfy every element of the California Digital Age Assurance Act's regulatory scope while deliberately refusing to comply with its requirements. Their hardware is basically a $12 RISC-V ARM board. They have named it Ageless Device, and the aim is to give it to children in schools. The Blender Foundation released Blender 5.1 as a major update of this powerful free open source and cross-platform 3D graphics software for GNU/Linux, macOS, and Windows. Highlights of Blender 5.1 include hardware ray tracing enablement for AMD GPUs by default through HIPRT, improved GPU rendering performance by up to 10% on various benchmark scenes, and a new F-curve modifier called Gaussian Smooth that allows non-destructive smoothing of F-curves. For Linux users, Blender 5.1 adds support for opening windows without decorations on Wayland by using the no window frame argument and removing the dependence on libdecor client-side decorations library for Wayland clients. Also new in Blender 5.1 is an operator to replace the action on multiple objects, support for loop selection in the wait paint mode when using vertex selection, support for snapping to the face center, and a new corrective flip normals boolean option in the apply object transform redo panel. The Blender 5.1 release implements a new mask to SDF node to compute signed distance fields, adds a new sequencer strip info node, enables support for the index switch, radial tiling, Boolean integer and vector input nodes, adds a new font socket, and adds support for AVIF images. For virtual reality, it revamps the arc teleportation ray drawing and functionality, adds a new view scale property to the VR scene inspection settings to allow for fine-tuning of session-specific views, and introduces a new Metal OpenXR graphics binding to enable OpenXR support on macOS. There are also many under-the-hood changes to make the evaluation performance of the animation system faster and improve font filling for 3D text objects. Fedora Asahi Remix incorporates all the exciting improvements brought by Fedora Linux 43. Notably, package management is significantly upgraded with RPM 6.0 and the new DNF5 backend for package kit for Plasma Discovery and GNOME software ahead of Fedora Linux 44. It also continues to provide extensive device support. This includes newly added support for the Mac Pro, microphones in M2 Pro/Max MacBooks, and 120 Hz refresh rate for the built-in displays for MacBook Pro 14 and 16. 16 models. Fedora Asahi Remix offers KDE Plasma 6.6. It also offers a custom Calamares-based initial setup wizard. A GNOME variant is available featuring GNOME 49, with both desktop variants matching what Fedora Linux offers. Fedora Asahi Remix also provides a Fedora server variant for server workloads and other types of headless deployments. And there is a minimal image for users that wish to build their own experience from the ground up. Samba continues to be a leading open-source SMB protocol re-implementation for Microsoft Windows File and Print Services interoperability. Samba 4.24 brings more features, including remote password management support. Samba features authentication information audit support for some attributes that are relied on for some forms of authentication. It also now allows larger streams of VFS_streams_xattr, with the likes of XFS able to handle more than 64K of extended xattrs. There is also support for remote password management, Kerberos PKInit KeyTrust logon support, KDC improvements, and improvements to the Samba tool. Samba also now has an AIO rate-limiting VFS module if wanting to rate-limit async IO operations. GNOME is built around a Wayland-first approach with a consistent design system through Live App Beta, a decent attempt at accessibility, and a core app suite that handles most everyday tasks without much additional configuration. Its latest release, GNOME 50, continues on that path with some major changes. The removal of X11 from GDM is the change most people will have an opinion about. It was supposed to happen in GNOME 49, but got pulled back at the last minute due to a bug. This time it is not coming back. Desktop environments that ship their own X11 sessions can still be launched via a per-user X server, so Plasma, XFCE, and the others are not caught out by this. Accessibility also sees some attention specifically around Orca. The screen reader gets a redesigned preferences window, global settings that no longer need to be saved on a per-app basis, and a new option for reading chat room messages. It is still GTK3, though. The shell picks up a mix of new features and reliability fixes. Parents can now extend screen time limits directly from the interface, and screen time tracking has been corrected to work properly when idle inhibitors are active. The Files app sees a significant round of improvements with this release. Path completion and location bar is now case insensitive, which is a small change that makes the experience notably smoother when you're typing quickly and not thinking about capitalization. Thumbnails are now loaded through Glycine, GNOME's sandboxed image loading library, completing a change that caused missing image thumbnails for some users. All settings and commands are now global by default, though you can still set config settings on a per-application basis. Version 19 of the Agama installer for OpenSUSE and SUSE has been released. This release includes major changes in Agama's architectural design, organization of the web interface, and more. Quote, "We always wanted Agama to follow the schema in which the core of the installer could be controlled through a consistent and simple programming interface, an API in developer jargon. In that schema, the web-based user interface, the command line tools, and the unattended installation are built on top of that generic API. But previous versions of Agama were full of quirks that didn't allow us to define an API that would match our quality standards as a solid foundation to build a simple but comprehensive installer. Agama 19 represents a quite significant architectural overhaul needed to leave all those quirks behind to define mechanisms that can be the cornerstone of any future development," end quote. Members of the Manjaro Linux distributions community have published a Manjaro 2.0 manifesto that contains a list of complaints and a demand to restructure the project to provide a clear separation between the community and Manjaro as a company. The manifesto asserts that the project's leadership is not acting in the best interest of the community, which has caused developers to leave and innovation to stagnate. It also demands a handover of the Manjaro trademark and other assets to a to-be-formed nonprofit association. The responses on the Manjaro forum showed widespread support for the manifesto. Philip Mueller, project lead and CEO of the Manjaro company, largely stayed out of the discussion. However, he surfaced on March 19th to say he was, quote, open to serious discussions, end quote, but only after a nonprofit had actually been set up. Wine 11.5 is out to run Windows games and applications on Linux and other platforms. Wine's NTDLL implementation has merged support for system call emulation on Linux using syscall user dispatch. Syscall user dispatch is a feature of Linux 5.11 Plus to allow redirecting specific non-native system calls back to user space for handling by compatibility layers like Wine. Syscall user dispatch allows emulated system callbacks to user space, which allows for better performance than alternatives and a cleaner design. What this syscall user dispatch feature in Wine now means is addressing bug reports with multiple games slash applications crashing on Wine due to direct use of x86-64 syscall instruction. Detroit Become Human, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Ark Knight's Endfield are among known titles affected. That particular bug report was closed by the Wine 11.5 release, but has been open since 2019. Wine 11.5 also adds C++ support in its build system, bundled ICU libraries, VBScript compatibility fixes, and other bug fixes. AntiX 26 has been released, bringing a new version of the lightweight systemd free Linux distribution based on Debian 13 Trixie. This release offers five init systems, runit, sysvinit, dinit, s6-rc, and s6-66, with runit being the default. AntiX 26 stays true to its systemd free philosophy. It ships without systemd, elogind, flatpak, or snap, relying on alternatives such as eudev. The distro is available in two main variants, a full edition and a smaller core edition. Both are offered for 64-bit and 32-bit systems. The full version includes more pre-installed applications, while the core edition provides a minimal base for customization. The desktop experience remains lightweight, built around window managers instead of full desktop environments. IceWM is the default, with Fluxbox JWM and the tiling window manager HerbsLuftWM also available. AntiX 26 includes customized Linux kernel options. A 5.10 LTS kernel is available alongside a newer 6.6 kernel for 64-bit systems. The distribution integrates PipeWire and WirePlumber by default on 64-bit full installations, while 32-bit systems continue using ALSA for audio support. The software selection includes LibreOffice, Firefox ESR, Claws Mail, and multimedia tools such as MPV, Celluloid, and XMMS. AntiX 26 also includes a bunch of its in-house tools and scripts. The release ships the AntiX Control Center, Snapshot, and Remastering tools, and utilities for managing network shares, backups, and system configuration. Additional tools like AntiX Radio, AntiX TV, and Finder extend functionality without adding significant overhead. Finally, command line users are also well served, with applications like Newsboat, IRSSI, MOCP, and RTorrent included out of the box. The distribution also provides specialized tools for remote access, voice communication, and SSH-based resource sharing via its repositories. Germany has strictly standardized its digital document requirements. The Deutschlandstock, the country's new sovereign digital infrastructure framework, names just two document formats that public administrations are allowed to use, ODF and PDF/UA. Proprietary documents from Microsoft like DOC, PPT, and XLS are not included. The framework is published by Germany's Federal Ministry for Digital Transformation and Government Modernization, and it covers every level of public administration in the country, from federal government bodies down to states and municipalities. The Deutschlandstock explicitly reduces vendor lock-in effects as one of its core goals. The framework also prioritizes use of open-source solutions where possible and explicitly favors sourcing from European providers over foreign alternatives. Compliance dates are set for 2028. Systemd has taken on more responsibilities over the years than a lot of people think it should. For some, running a distro that avoids it entirely is a feature. The project's latest move has not helped its reputation among the skeptics. Last week, developers merged a pull request adding a birthdate field to its user records, tied to age verification laws in California, Colorado, and Brazil. The field is optional, can only be set by an administrator, and Systemd itself does nothing with the data. It is simply a standardized field in the user record file that other projects like XDG Desktop Portal can and build age verification compliance on top of. Distros that do not need it can ignore it entirely, but optional has not been enough to stop people from treating it as a line being crossed. And now a solo developer has responded the way the open source community usually reacts, by forking. Liberated Systemd is a fork of mainline Systemd started by Jeffrey Santron Sardina. The project is straightforward about its purpose: strip out what it considers surveillance-enabling code, keep everything else intact, and stay in sync with upstream as it develops. As of this writing, it was 37 commits behind from Systemd, so that is something to keep in mind if you're hoping to implement this on a general use or production system. Jeffrey also maintains a companion repository, Systemd Suite, which is meant for testing the fork. So while this is very much a one-person project, there seems to be at least some technical groundwork behind it beyond the birthdate revert. You've been listening to Full Circle Weekly News. For more details, see the next issue of the magazine at fullcirclemagazine.org or check the links in the show notes. You can contact me at bardmoss@pm.me. I'll be back next week.